This morning, our lectionary is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, and I also want to read Leviticus 19, verses 33 through 34. So from Leviticus. When the foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord, your God. And then from Luke chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people in no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. These are our sacred stories. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the religious leaders were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." "What are you doing, Jesus? These people are not worth your time. They should not be treated as equals. They're not people you should sit down and eat with. These sinners and tax collectors, they're not like us. Send them away." Jesus tells stories in response to the religious leaders' othering, their demoralizing. Stories of radical inclusion, radical welcome. Embrace that is not contingent upon anything. Some have focused on the lines, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." And, "Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." But it seems to me that Jesus' stories are not really about repentance. Sheep cannot repent. It is not part of their ovine nature. And if sheep cannot repent, coins are completely incapable of such. The sinners and the tax collectors with which Jesus shares meal after meal and mile after mile, the Bible doesn't say they repent and then they are included. They are simply included, welcomed, sought, and found. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Jesus lets the question hang there. I mean, the answer is obvious to everyone. Nobody. No one does this. It's insanity. If you lose 1% of your holdings, you don't risk losing 99% of your holdings to get the 1% back. By leaving the 99, you risk them roaming off, being stolen, being killed, and eaten by a wolf. And that one lost silver coin, the value of that coin would have been spent to light that lamp, to search the house. And then even more would be spent to throw the party. It's not about repentance, it's about worth. These parables turn value on its head. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Certainly the people in power would never make such a choice. In the kingdoms of this world, the one sheep is expendable. One coin is not worth searching for. But in the kingdom of God, the 99 are left for the one because the one has just as much value as the 99. In the kingdom of God, the value of the coin is spent in lighting the lamp and searching the house in order to find the one lost coin. In the kingdom of God, the needs of the many do not make the needs of the one expendable. Dr. James Dobson and his organization, Focus on the Family, were part of my religious life in my childhood and adolescence. His radio program was often on. His voice was part of commercial breaks for the local Christian music station, offering what I think were called family moments, which were kind of like engines of our ingenuity or briefcase that you may have heard listening to NPR here in Houston. Only instead of being about technological advances or the law, these brief explanations were about evangelical culture and the dangers of everything else. Dobson no longer runs Focus on the Family. He has a new organization called Family Talk. According to its website, Family Talk focuses on marriage, parenthood, evangelism, the sanctity of human life, and encouraging righteousness in the culture. Dobson has been a voice for evangelical ideals for a very long time, and his popularity remains steady. I think it's safe to say that he represents the thoughts and convictions of a large number of evangelical American Christians, and that his influence is far-reaching. I no longer hear his voice on the radio, but this week I've heard from him again in an alarming way. He was invited by the White House to visit McAllen, Texas, and to describe what he saw for the larger public. He published his findings in the July 2019 newsletter of Family Talk. Dobson describes the men, women, and children in the camps as carriers of lice, scabies, and other diseases. He says they're from the lowest rung of many societies. The most alarming rhetoric occurs in the closing paragraph. Dobson writes, "What I've told you is only a glimpse of what's occurring on the nation's border. I don't know what it will take to change the circumstances. I can only report that without an overhaul of the law and the allocation of resources, millions of illegal immigrants will continue flooding to this great land from around the world. Many of them have no marketable skills. They are illiterate and unhealthy. Some are violent criminals. Their numbers will soon overwhelm the culture as we have known it, and it could bankrupt the nation. America has been a wonderfully generous and caring country since its founding. That is our Christian nature. But in this instance, we have met a worldwide wave of poverty that will take us down if we don't deal with it. And it won't take long for the inevitable consequences to happen. Many of them have no marketable skills," he writes. "They're illiterate and unhealthy. Some are violent criminals. Their numbers will soon overwhelm the culture as we have known it and could bankrupt the nation." Dear God. In addition to reducing humans made in the image of God to their economic value, it is remarkable how much this sounds like Pharaoh. Pharaoh who said, "Look, The Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. Dobson's dehumanizing rhetoric is not particular to him. Several religious and political figures have publicly attempted to legitimize what's happening at our borders. Descriptions of people as disease carriers, criminals, swindlers, and uneducated are used to dehumanize. Their efforts to legitimize the belief that these are the types of people that American culture must be protected from. The idea that American culture is at stake because of the current crisis seems absolutely true to me, but the danger comes not from those in desperate need, but rather from the rich and the powerful who seek only to increase their wealth and power and care not the cost to anyone else. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one until he finds it? New Testament scholar Bernard Brandon Scott reads this parable as a dangerous drama. The shepherd leaves the 99 sheep exposed on the hill. He notes, this is the story of a possible fool who may have gambled all and lost. Such, we are meant to understand, is a description of a God who risks. Jesus points us to a God who risks, a God who risks in order to care for each and every individual. Jesus welcomes the very people the religious leaders want to send away. He eats with them and listens to them and loves them. The God who risks is the God we see in the story of the liberation of the Israelites from Egypt. You'll remember that Pharaoh was threatened by the Israelites. He treats them not as fellow humans, but as expendable producers, caring much more for brick quotas than human need. But God heard and responded to the cries of those dominated and subjugated by the imperial powers. Pharaoh's heart, we read in Exodus 8, was hardened. He was not able to cry at the pain of others. He had a complete failure of empathy and compassion. What did he care for the Israelites? In the kingdoms of this world, humans are expendable. Need is met with fear, threats, scapegoating, and increased abuse. But in the kingdom of God, cries of pain are heard and heeded. In the kingdom of God, liberation is sought at all costs. Moses, Miriam, and Aaron are sent to liberate the people. And the shepherd goes to seek and find the one lost sheep. The lamp is lit and the house is searched until the lost coin is uncovered. God hears and uses us to bring liberation. If you're like me, you're not sure what to do. Yes, there are plenty of good organizations to give money to, and that is important. And yes, please write and call your government officials. But surely there's more. We will continue as individuals and together, we will continue to seek the more that is ours to do. And one thing we can all do is humanize the people at our borders. James Baldwin said, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced." At the very least, we can refuse to shut our eyes, refuse to ignore, refuse to turn away. We can hear, and we can help by reminding ourselves and everyone in our communities that people, real people, are suffering just a few miles away. We can respond to rhetoric that would suggest that the suffering people at our borders are somehow of less value by redirecting to empathy, by focusing on the intrinsic worth of every person. We can hear the cries of despair and refuse to let our hearts be hardened. We can refuse the rhetoric of quid pro quo, of monetary value equals worth. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my one sheep that was lost." Amen.